We're just celebrating the beauty of what John's trying to tell us in his gospel and what he writes about later in his letter, and then what he tries to explain from his wonderful, incredible dream in the book of Revelation, all of it pointing to the Word being made flesh and God coming not to create. That's Genesis, right? The Word in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was creating with God. God spoke creation into existence. Now the Word is coming not to create, but to what? To dwell among us for the purpose of recreating. In Jesus Christ, we need to just capture this beautiful moment here that John's doing everything he can to tell us what's happening. But in Christ, we need to see that something new is up. God's up to something. And that something is that he's coming to make all things new. He's coming unto his own, and what? They didn't receive him nor recognize him. He's coming to recreate all that's been messed up by sin and rebellion. And they don't see him. They don't recognize him. Can you imagine making something? And that wonderful something not recognizing its maker or the purpose for which it was made. He came into his own. They didn't recognize him. And I might suggest he didn't recognize them. He goes into the temple right after. I think this may have happened twice that Jesus went into the temple to cleanse it. But in John chapter 2, he goes to Jerusalem for Passover and he walks into the temple, which had long lost its anointing and grace to hold the presence of God. And so here's God in the flesh walking into the temple that was supposed to represent everything God was, and he says, "This isn't even close." And then they say, "Who are you?" So you've got the maker and the model right here in the midst of what he's made to represent himself and God in all of his fullness, and neither one recognizes the other. My Father's house is to be a house of prayer, and this is not even close. As a matter of fact, he called it what? A den of thieves. The Word made flesh comes into what he has made, and it's not even close. But thank God he came to recreate it, to make all things new. Something tremendous is afoot here. God's promised to remake everything. And so we just celebrated last week this part of this scripture of God always coming down and meeting us, and now he comes in person, born among men, and he comes to recreate. He comes to seek out and to save all that's been lost and broken. We pointed out a couple of people that fulfilled his promise that whoever receives him, whoever can recognize and receive him and believe that he is who he says he is, will have the right to become children of God. And we just pointed out two examples, both of whom were non-Jews, the Canaanite woman and the centurion soldier. And it's almost as if God's saying, that's what I'm looking for, but I can't find it among my own people. The Canaanite woman, I thought it was also interesting that he spoke healing to both of these long distance. Centurion said, "You don't have to come to my home. I too am a man under authority." He understood something nobody else did. He said, "You can just speak the word." And the Lord said, that's the DNA of one born of God right there. That's it. That's what I'm looking for. And he says, "You can go." And he says his servant was healed that same hour. Same thing happened to the Canaanite woman who was in the dialogue with Jesus about who was a true child and who wasn't and who was a dog. And she says, yes, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs. And Jesus says, Jesus was astonished. So you can rest assured that if Jesus is astonished, something really unusual is happening. And he's saying, that's it. That's the DNA of my Father that I'm looking for, that I can't find over here. I sure can't find it in the temple. It's become a robber's den. But that's what I'm looking for. And he came to recreate that possibility in each one of us, to put in us a heart that could respond to him. I don't know about you, but there's quite a difference in creating and recreating. Most of you know I piddle in remodeling, and it's quite a difference in building something new from scratch, isn't it, John, rather than going into something old that needs a whole lot of work. It's going to have dumpsters out front where you got to put all the trash. You're going to run into things you never thought you'd find and weren't expecting. One of the phrases John uses about God in the flesh is he said, we touched him. We put our hands on it. It was a hands-on thing happening. And this morning I just thought I'd say that as I'm reading and just looking for new insights in this scripture, is that Jesus is hands-on too. It's not just that we get to touch him. Is that we're privileged and that he's going to put his hands all over your life. To recreate, I think we're fooling ourselves to think that God's not going to get involved with everything about our lives. I received a text this morning from someone who was lamenting a difficult, difficult situation, and I felt like I wanted to text them back and say, God's got his hands all over this. It's good news today that the Word has become flesh and living among you. And he's touchable and knowable, but you're fooling yourself to think that in the process of recreation, he's not going to get all up in your life. He's not just going to give you a word and send you home and not follow it up. The stories are too many to recount, and we don't get to follow up what happened to the woman at the well, what happened to the centurion or the Canaanite woman. But there's always a whole lot of stuff to be done after God comes and touches you. He's going to recreate. And so in the recreation process, the Word made flesh and being able to deal with this God of creation who's come and like us. By the way, in 2 weeks we'll enjoy our children's program. And you will enjoy it. Because it's going to show us one more time he's like us. He chose it that way and made up his mind to throw off everything that spoke of his sovereign divinity and come as a son and as a servant. But he's coming to get involved with you. He's coming to get involved with me. He's coming to get out every tool. Everything is at his disposal, you understand. This is a little bit of a paraphrase of Romans 8:28, all things work together. God uses every tool in his box to get up in your life and to change you with his ministry of recreation. It's just one more thing we can grab from the story, I think. God's going to get up in your marriage and in your relationship and your finances. He's going to be hands-on. He's going to be touchable. He doesn't just come and say, okay, your sins are forgiven. You can go now. He's recreating this broken humanity that was created in the beginning to reflect him. He comes to the temple that was the place to to somehow mysteriously hold the presence of God in the earth, and yet here he is himself the embodiment of the Father. And the temple, of course, how many hundreds of years had already lost its glory through man's failure and sin and rebellion. And you can imagine the dryness and the fatigue of religious people trying to continue in a form, in a pattern that for 700 years had been empty of God. And God says, I'm coming to remake all of that. I'm coming to recreate it and to bring back the glory in you that was present at creation when I made man in my image and crowned all of creation with this human creature that I formed out of the dust and put my own breath in, coming to recreate. So I'm just going to suggest this morning, don't get angry when God gets all up in your life. It's all good. It has to be. It has to be. I've been in the middle of a long remodel. And just when you think you've about got it, you find a little termite damage. You got to go in there and you got to tear out again. You got to go to the truck and pull out every tool I own for one small job. And I thought, that's the way God deals with us. He's got all of these things at his disposal, and they're all necessary. It's like Peter saying he's given you everything necessary for life and godliness. You just don't realize it's the recreation process where God's going to get all up in your life. And this is the glory of Christmas. This is the glory of heaven coming down. And the beauty of God making things new. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. But to anyone else who did, he gave the right to become children of the Most High God. Of course, that's us. That's us. John the Baptist cries out and says, this is the one, it's what I'm talking about. He's greater than me. He existed before me, but he's come now. This is the one I've been trying to tell you about. My baptisms of water, his fire. Because he's burning up all of the old to recreate the new in each one of us. I'd like to think I could just make my confession of Christ, him give me a nice good word and go on my merry way. But he follows me. All my life he has been faithful. All my life, he has chased after me with his wonderful process of recreating. I've seen carpenters build a whole new house with about three tools. A tape measure, power saw, and a hammer. These days, a nail gun. Because you don't have to deal with the old. But in recreation, God has to get in there. And for a while, all he's going to do is undo. To think that he's got to undo for Israel, he's got to undo 700 years of wrong thinking. That's a lot of remodeling. That's a lot of dumpster filling. Of wrong ideas, of wrong practice, of misinterpreted prophecy, of of human effort that has produced absolutely nothing but pain and sorrow. I'd rather just God get out his one or two things and just make me new. I'm all good now. I can go. John says, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. That's the blessing of his continued involvement in our lives. Can you see him up in your life this morning? He's not going to leave you alone. That's the deception. Is that he can heal me or he can do a miracle and send me on my way and never bother with me again. But he doesn't do that. He's here. He said, I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. We're going to finish this thing that Jesus has started with this historic event by coming down and bringing what he calls the message of the kingdom of God. And so it involves this total remake. Canaanite woman, I'm sure, faced all kinds of issues after God touched her daughter. She probably got it from her own people, and she caught it from the Jews. The Roman centurion, same thing. He's a believer now. He's a confessor of Jesus. He called him Lord. And you have to understand, he's an employee of Caesar. And emperor worship was a big deal. So when you confess allegiance to somebody other than Caesar, especially when you're an employee, especially when you have men under you, your life's not going to be easy. And so God's all up in this man's life from start to finish. It's not just, hey, my servant's healed, I'm good now, I can go. He said, no, we're going to recreate this whole system of thinking that's made you bow to this man instead of to the Lord who just healed your servant. So I just feel like God's doing such wonderful things by staying involved in our lives. So when you sing that song, All My Life, you have been faithful. He's been faithful to recreate and to redo and to work in us. But I just don't want you to be deceived this morning. Felt like God wanted me to say that. Don't be fooled. He's going to get all up in your life. John said he let us touch him, but it wasn't just that. He touched me. Peter's phrase was, he got in my boat and he would never get out. He would never leave. I asked him to leave. It would have been easier had he left. How many of you know he stayed with Peter all the way through? All the way through. And I mean, he got all up in his personality, up in his manner, up in his Jewishness, up in his brothers and his relationships. He just got all up in there. Recreating. Remaking. So, we are his family. We are the body of Christ. We are the new, remade temple. Well, that's a lot of remodeling going on there, in idea and practice. For Jesus to come in, it would be almost like you make something for a particular purpose and you're using it for something entirely different. I don't know how to paint the picture, but here's Christ, the embodiment of God, standing in the temple being used now as just a place of commerce. That's all. Commerce. Everybody say commerce. Would be as if we gathered here this morning to play bingo and nothing else. Nothing else. Some of you do well, go home with a smile on your face, you made a little bit. So you understand his zeal in cleansing the temple, because he say that this isn't even close. So when he comes to our lives to recreate, he has to start by saying, "This, you're not even close. I love you, but you're not close. It's not what you were made. You're not made for anger and bitterness. I didn't make you for that. I made you for love. I made you for forgiveness. I made you for joy. Matter of fact, you're the one thing in the earth that when you act like me, it shows everybody that's what I'm like." He said, "That this is not close. And so I'm going to get involved with you." So I'm just saying to all of us this morning, I'm glad you're here, but don't be fooled. He's going to follow you home today, follow you to work tomorrow, follow you to bed tonight, and be there waiting on you when you get up in the morning. And he's going to come park a big dumpster out in front of your life, and he's going to say, "We're going to deal with this, and we're going to redo it until it looks so glorious. The house I'm working on right now, Teresa once lived in. I didn't know that. You should come see it when it's done, because it probably will have some things you will remember, but mostly everything is being made new." That's my word to you this morning of encouragement. Don't resist the Word made flesh, touchable, knowable, handling Him. It's one thing for John to say we got to touch Him. It's a whole other thing for Him to say He touched me. He grabbed hold of my life and began to deal with me. But I hope you'll meditate on this scripture over and over and over, because it's no way for us to grab it all at one short season of celebration. But I do believe John's trying to tell us something, and he's using everything possible to say it. In his letters, his epistle, he writes, "That which we have seen and heard and touched. And if you can hear me, you'll share in fellowship with the Father and with us." Heaven coming down to His creation. "Humbly you came to the earth you created. All for love's sake became poor." That's words of a song we sing. But we didn't recognize Him, and He didn't recognize His own creation, except in the fact that it was not what it was meant to be. So God's wonderful involvement with us is to remake us, to not just do a miracle for us and send us on our way, but all of those are just signs that He's in the process of making everything new. Miracles are signs. They point to something. They point to the fact that something heavenly has happened and is happening and continues to happen. So I'd just like you to celebrate that with me this morning. Anybody want to celebrate God's got His hands all up in your life this morning? You want to just let Him come? You want to let Him stay? You want to take Him home and make room for Him? Would you just keep reading this scripture with me the next 2 weeks? We'll just keep reading and discovering line by line what it may mean to be actually born, reborn of the Spirit and manifesting and seeing His glory that's one of a kind. Well, stand and let's pray. And I just want to encourage you this morning, let God stay involved with you. Father, just going to ask that you make the Word of God real to us this morning. Because it is the power of God to transform. You simply said, by your Word, you said, "Let there be light," and you said, it was. There was light. And this time you came, Lord, and you came to recreate, to redeem, to get back all that has gone awry. And it's still your powerful Word that transforms us. It's still the beauty of in a mysterious way your ability to remake us. And we do need remaking from top to bottom, from inside out. And so we invite you again, Father, as we celebrate this wonderful season of incarnation, of your coming down all the way down in personhood, all the way down in flesh and blood, all the way down to Nazareth, all the way down to Bethlehem, all the way down to middle-class blue-collar living, to prove that it could be done. One could walk and be reborn by the Spirit and carry around in his flesh the glory of the Father. And I know, Lord, for that to happen in me, you've got to do a whole lot of stuff. You've got to remake a whole lot of things for me to be able to walk in that and share it with you. And so I want to pray again this morning. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, and have your way with your creation. And may this season heighten our ability to celebrate and to understand the beauty of your coming. I pray for the children as they go through their lines and sing their songs, that they too would be captured afresh by a Jesus who came all the way down to them. So do something fresh in all of us, Lord, as we just celebrate with John, trying to tell us that the day has come where you are transforming everything. So we pray, as you taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.